This podcast is sponsored by the Music Producers Guild of New Zealand, Aotearoa. The Music Producers Guild is an advisory service that assists and empowers our music producer industry here in New Zealand. Members get personalised contracts for their music production, free Serato Studio Sample and DJ Pro, access to discounted audio equipment and software, and advice from industry professionals. Buy your plugins through the Music Producers Guild website to help support us all in growing our community. For more information and to sign up as a member, please visit www.mpgnz.co.nz. Welcome everyone to Beat Whānau Podcasts, and this week we're with Herman. What's good, my bro?
Yo, man, how are we, bro? It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
So good. And yeah, it's great to be back, because I'm always wondering how the Wi-Fi is playing up, because we've got a bit of a weird setup and it's like, I haven't been on here for a while. So fingers crossed you don't get disrupted. We've had some very like bad lags, but like we've got through them and we're usually pretty good now. But how's things on your side, my bro?
They've been good, bro. It's been busy, but it's been good. Can't complain. Yeah, it's been good.
Solid, my bro. So yeah, the reason I was so keen to get you on the podcast, because I don't know if you saw or not, but I felt like, wow, like here's this amazing story of how I first bumped into you, which we'll be talking about soon. But even just thinking about our love for music and how it's such a universal thing, I thought, man, I've got to get you on, because yeah, surprisingly enough, like I think you've been doing this for a lot longer than I realized from when I met you. But taking it right back to when you were a kid and those earliest memories. Yeah, how did you sort of find your way into music, my bro?
So music for me, man, it was... So I think at like a young age, I wasn't like heavily invested into it, right? Like I had like an Akon CD and like a Gorilla CD. Like, you know, it was like a few stuff was there. But like I think the passion for like, you know, really enjoying music kind of came when I was in high school. And I found like a real passion for like trying to find like real underrated, like underground kind of artists that hadn't like blown up yet, but it was kind of like a fun, like challenging game to like find these guys and then kind of see them like blow up. And I was like, damn, this is so cool to kind of be part of this kind of like thing where, you know, it's like this real hardcore like fan base of these artists, and then they go on, you see like their entire journey, and it's just like so cool to watch.
Wow. Oh, that's amazing. See, it's quite different, because for you, you actually found that initial like thing into in high school through the underground. So was there sort of like any music influences in the family or things that were just playing at the time as a kid? What was the sort of what was the sort of first direction?
Not really, man. I mean, like the love for music kind of came through just like the internet, you know what I mean? I was like, back in high school, I was real into like making like YouTube videos and shit, like gaming and stuff. But so basically like when you were doing that, you would have to find like songs that were uncopyrighted. So like it was like this kind of like fun way to kind of find these artists that weren't big enough to the point where they were like copyrighted songs. It was like just trying to find these artists that were like hella underrated and shit. So
that's amazing, because I was into gaming before I was into music, and the thing that really got me into music, being honest, was subliminally the music in those like games. Like Need for Speed was one of my first games I ever played. Yep. They had some cool music in there, and I was just getting into things at Palmy Library. They had this place called The Basement, and that was like before they had Youth Space. So like they had some racing games, and they had Guitar Hero. And wow, who would have thought, like as a young kid, it was more just about the game. But those music influences were like things that kind of stuck in your head. I mean, there's some catchy music, I guess, for us growing up in that late 2000s era, you know?
For sure.
First decade. But kind of as we progress, were there sort of radio pop sort of influences, or was that, were you really like, kind of like, as soon as you got into music, was it like really kind of trying to find underground stuff that was a copyright, or what was the sort of direction?
It was definitely like like there was a phase when like I was real into like, you know, like the stuff that would always be playing on like the radio and stuff. This was like when I was quite young, you know, and I'd have like my MP3 player with like the Chris Brown and Akon and all that kind of stuff. But then, yeah, as I started to grow up a bit, like the music kind of tied in heavily with like the internet, and you know, it was cool to kind of see like these artists that were trying to find their way through the internet. And this was like before like it was even like a thing when artists would blow off through like the internet. It would always have to be like, oh, you know, like yeah. This artist has to get signed, they have to have like stuff on the radio, you know, it's all that kind of stuff. So it was finding this like real like niche group of people that were like really heavily invested into like this internet kind of music scene.
Wow. Yes, well that's how I got into it, was SoundCloud. But were you around like with MySpace, or what was your sort of Yeah. MySpace was huge.
I remember that.
We haven't talked about it nearly enough on the podcast, and I feel like you kind of like start heading into those, like you're like that late 20s kid if you're listening today. But yeah, that's awesome, bro. Was there much SoundCloud for you growing up, or what were some sites? Was it kind of all coming out on YouTube? What was your early
experience? It was mainly like all through YouTube, like SoundCloud. Yeah, like, you know, I would go over there and play some stuff, and you know, it was cool to kind of see that thing like popping off. But it was mainly like trying to like, you know, like there's like these channels. I don't know if you've heard of them. There was like Swaggy Tracks, and like there was like all these like uncopyrighted like channels. And they'd always be posting like uncopyrighted songs and stuff, and it was like these real like underground like artists like Hoodie Allen, like Jeezy before it was big, like Logic and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, I don't know, I feel like that was kind of where I was like slowly like building like my like playlist and stuff. And you know, I'd go to school with my headphones on, I'd just be playing all these songs, and everyone would be like, what are you playing? You know, like, oh man, like, you know, if you know, you know. Yeah.
hard out. And wow, that was when radio was still such a big takeover from what we have now with the internet. But yeah, was there sort of like a progression into the internet? Like, were you into computers? And I mean, you're into gaming. Like, was there just a sort of natural ability for you with computers, or did you just find the internet was like a place you just spend all those hours after school? Yeah. How did you find it?
Yeah, it was kind of like, so this was when I was like first kind of in high school. I got real into like Call of Duty, and there was like this whole like community of people that would be posting like montages and stuff on the internet, and then I kind of just found myself in there, and I started editing and stuff. So I would always be like trying to find like new songs that I could like edit to. So it's this, yeah, I mean, I feel like it kind of just built up like with this kind of like community of people that were kind of all invested in like the same thing.
Yeah.
And music was just like a big thing in it, because you know, like every single video kind of needs to have like a backtrack. So I was like trying to find like the coolest kind of songs at the time that were like super underground, people hadn't heard them, and trying to put everyone onto it.
No, it's so cool. And I'm just thinking now, like, how awesome, like, as I kind of segue, you're kind of like in that age where you're kind of maybe like dabbling with a bit of video editing and stuff too, right? Like, was there a thing like Sony Vegas? What was
sort of
on the table?
Yeah, so I've been editing for like 10 plus years. So like I started like on Sony Vegas, and then I moved to like After Effects, and now I've just been using that. And I use that like almost every day, like even for like my t-shirts and stuff I do. It's all done on that, which is real strange. But yeah, it's just like a software that I picked up at like an early age. So it's just kind of come like a natural thing to always go to like do anything.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, yeah, man, I kind of fast check us for when it gets exciting. So introduce us to sort of what happened when you decided to like get more into like the whole brand and skip the boat. Tell us kind of how it all kicked off, my right?
Basically, like, I remember going to like clubs and parties and stuff, and I would always feel like the odd one out, because everyone would enjoy it. They're playing like the like, you know, all the stuff that's on like the radio and stuff, like the mainstream stuff. I was like, yeah, it's cool, but like this isn't really my type of thing, you know, because I was always a fan of like this like underground kind of scene. So I was like, I would always tell my friends, I was like, look, like I bet I could throw such a better gig than this, man. Like I could throw something so much cooler. And I would always say that, and I would never do anything. And then there was like one summer where I was barely doing anything. I had so much free time. And I was like, all right, you know what? Like, fuck it. Like, I'm just going to try and do it. And if it works, it works. But if it doesn't, then oh, well. So, yeah, I started like diving like real deep into like the NZ scene because I didn't know too much of it.
But, yes.
As soon as I dived in, I was like, this is so much like untapped potential. There's so many people that are making crazy like songs. There's so many people that are just insanely talented. But no one's really trying to push shows here. There was a small group of people that were doing shows, but it wasn't a big thing at all.
Mm.
I was like, I really just want to like try to push this kind of scene and like work with these artists and just try to like create something here because there's so much potential.
Wow, so. Man, that's a really like, I mean, that's a noble thing, and I think it's like coming in as well, knowing how hard it's like to actually find music where you're wanting to use music because you're wanting to support us, you love music, but then it's like all the stuff everyone loves, and then it's also the stuff that somehow like was like gate held away from creativity because you can't use it in videos, and then you naturally realize not only is the stuff you're looking for like stuff that was a bit more obscure, but actually like there's something to it, like this is actually really well produced, or this is actually better than the radio stuff, and like the internet's kind of trying to tell everyone this, but then at the same time it's like it's not until you really start to say like I'm gonna give this a shot because I think I'm not the only one who's catching up with the internet, right? It's actually, yeah, it's taking out. Was there sort of like friends around you that started to see the light, or yeah, tell us about how it all went, my bro.
There was like very few people that I knew that were kind of into like the kind of music I was into, but there was a few, and it was so cool to like be around them because like it was just like a vibe, like, you know, anytime like we'd always be playing these tracks by these artists, and then yeah, so originally I linked up with a friend who was heavily like interested in the same kind of like songs and everything that I was into. So we were the ones that kind of put together like our first gig in Hamilton. I think it was February 1st. Wait, there's a poster right here actually. Yeah, February 1st, 2020. And that was the first kind of gig we did. And that was our first experience of doing it. And we had no clue what we were doing. Like, you know, we were just two like students that had no experience in this kind of industry or anything. Yes. All we knew was that we wanted to throw a gig where we could hear the music that we loved. And somehow we put it together. We just tried to like ask people as many questions, because like I feel like the best way to kind of learn anything is just to do it, and then as you're doing it, you're going to pick up things as you go.
Yeah, especially because sometimes you set all these kind of limits of questions. I'm doing this the same at the moment with my online classroom, where you realize the sort of walls that are placed in front of you, both from the outside and your inside walls that you have just from, you know, growing up and being in the world, like a lot of this stuff is actually the only way to break through it is to do things and sort of learn along the way, and you need to give yourself time. And like I was lucky I picked this up with production, because I was just going through endless YouTube like tutorials and like endless hours like crashing out on the bed with the laptop screen like just like blaring my eyes to death, but I got there in the end. But like, yeah, what's cool is also when you think about like people and thinking we actually showing getting things involved with people, and how yeah, you can't get too kind of paranoid and like, oh man, what if we screw this up, because like, man, the people in the crowd, they're fully aware that like none of them could pull this off, but yet they want to participate in it. So they're actually, so like they know deep down inside, like, hey, this something's actually happening. Like, I'm keen to just have a good night and yeah, enjoy the music. But yeah, was there like a few other things that were happening at the time? Was it mainly just starting out with the gigs and stuff, my bro?
Yeah, so it all started with the gigs. And the idea from the very start was always just like gigs, you know, like that was the thing. It was trying to like push this underground scene. And it wasn't to the main purpose of it was because I was trying to find a place where I could go and actually enjoy it. You know, so like that was always the thing. It was like, I just want to be able to go to a gig where I can enjoy it. I can hear like these local artists, like this underground scene, and just be part of that. And it just happened to be that so many other people were interested as well, which is so cool. And it's still growing. Like it's still like a small group of people, but it's growing, you know, which is so cool to see. So I started doing that, and then the second show that we were ever going to do was the one in Palmy where I met you.
Yes.
But that show got postponed from the original date because of COVID. So it was like the worst timing. And then when COVID hit, I was trying to keep the brand alive because, you know, I just started this brand and I was really interested in gigs and doing this. But I knew that if COVID came and I couldn't do gigs, like everything that I was always like trying to build would die off. So I started doing clothing and stuff because I thought, you know, that would be a cool way to kind of tell stories and all that. So then slowly, this idea of gigs and clothing, I feel like fashion and music go hand in hand. So it just worked out so well. And so now it's kind of turned into this thing where I do gigs, and then when I can't do gigs because of COVID, like right now, you know, how we can't do gigs now, I can focus on clothing and stuff, and then I can go back to gigs. And there's like this crossover of people that are so interested because
yes,
fashion, music, hand in hand, it works out so perfectly.
Yeah, what works even more perfectly is, like realizing that by sharing the journey, not only are you like the vulnerability is actually like how anyone like gets through life, but it's actually so powerful when you realize you can look back on it yourself and be like, wow, look how far I've come, and this 100%. Jordan Peterson is the hero's journey, but this is what everyone goes through. Like, there is no one who's not going through this journey of learning, getting to meet new people all the time, and just learning more about skills that you kind of learn as you get into running, not just like t-shirts and like, you know, all the sort of clothing and music, but you actually kind of you start running a movement because like people are actually coming together for that cause. And you see some kind of cool things.
And but, I feel like
I was
just gonna say, I feel like the coolest part about the whole thing is the journey, like being able to see this whole like progress from start to like the finish, because like it's never going to be perfect. It's not like I'm going to go out and do 100 shows and I'm all gonna pack them out and you know it's like something is gonna go wrong, you know, it's part of it, but I think that's the beauty. And like even when we did our show in Palmy, like so much went wrong, you know, it was part of it. It's just part of like the journey, and that's what makes like the journey so beautiful, is that it's not perfect, because just in life nothing is perfect and everyone's on their own journeys and they're not going to be perfect either, so it's relatable for them. It's cool to look back on and be able to see how like, okay, this is where I started and now this is where I am now. And that's just so inspiring, even to me, like be able to see that. It's just one of the coolest things.
Oh, it's one thing I loved about when I was starting Beat Final and why I always wanted to is like, you know, like I'm really like putting the faith in the universe, like these podcasts will be here to stay. And to hear even back then, you know, like what they say is, you find a lot of sort of meaning in the present, the future from that, like seeing in the past how we got this far. It's like, like, you know, it's not just taking a step forward, it's taking a step forward with that, that sort of conviction and that awareness of, wow, we're not just taking a step forward, we're taking a step forward for all our ancestors and everyone has helped us.
100%.
So it's very cool. But tapping back into some cool sort of milestones. The cool thing is you've come across some amazing artists along the way, and like it's amazing. I remember seeing a few of these cats as I was getting into things and just adding people on Facebook, and random people would add me on Facebook. Yeah. So I'm like, wow, I know, like Ash and all these guys, and it's Hexamen. But all these different peeps, and even people where I was like, wow, you guys actually all know each other, but then I know this guy, and then there's like another bro, Donnie, and I'm like, wow, like it's funny.
It's
like
weird how it all connects, right? Yeah, everyone seems friends to know someone.
It's like someone. Friends you just haven't met, and I'm like, wow, this is cool. Like, what were some of the things for you? Like, now we're like kind of looking back at the moment, like, have there been any like cool milestones or big highlights in particular, or just
heaps, bro? I mean, it's a list that never ends. I think there's just been so much stuff, and it's not even like the big stuff all the time. It's sometimes cool, it's like tiny things, but like I'm like, damn, like that was a cool thing that I learned from that, or you know, that was cool, that just helped pieces it all together.
That's powerful, bro, because I was really getting it as well. I saw like how there's the DJ pop-up thing and then also Vane coming in, and I was like, wow, like, you know, I found Vane through some of the producer homies up here, just, and then one of the producer homies made a beat for her, which was so catchy, it was Wait, yeah, and that was music video and all at it's the same classic. Time. It's and it's just like, oh, snip, this is fresh, but to come and see that and then realize, well, like, Vane's already out there doing gigs, and like, you know, I'm like kind of like sleeping on rocks of like, wow, you guys are already like, bringing this all together, and like even DJing was something you kind of just got into, right, bro?
So, yeah. So I mean, you know, I started doing it just because like I thought it'd be an important skill to learn, and like I mean I'm still not the best at it. Like I try to like keep on trying to like learn and stuff. Yeah. But, it's just something that I knew would help in like the long run of things. Like if I can't find a DJ, at least I know that I can always be there to do it. You know, so yeah.
Man, that's so awesome. Well, yeah, like it's a positive is to do all these little things. And was there any sort of like things along the way, like particularly like that were tricky? I mean, lockdown in general, but have there ever been like things like for you, like mentally getting through, or did you learn like a lot about say like things in particular business? Yeah, what were some of the things you feel you've grown in, my bro?
I think people kind of underestimate how stressful it can be to kind of put together.
Yeah. Just kind of like that self-awareness is like a huge one. Eh?
Yeah, absolutely. Like even, you know, from the outside, like trying to see it in, before I put together a gig, I thought, oh yeah, you know, it can't be that hard. All you do is get some artists, you know, you get this and you do that. But it's so much more than that. And yeah, it, like, I think one of the biggest things that I've started to like find is that even from like throwing these gigs, one thing that really sucks is that sometimes I find it very, very difficult to enjoy it on the night because I'm so stressed on the night trying
to put my hand up right now.
You know, which is a thing that kind of sucks, but like at the end of the day, it's like, look, you know, the goal was always to put this on and help the scene, put on a show for the people as well. And there's always parts in it where I'm like, yo, like, you know.
Yeah, those few moments. Yeah, even if it's just a few minutes, they just, at the end of the night, you're like, I still remember those few minutes.
I still remember that, yeah.
Powerful, bro. Yeah. I so relate, bro. But, man, it's awesome because I'm starting to see as well, like, yeah, a very similar journey where, yeah, you learn a lot about even stage setup on the fly, getting involved with different brands to try and, you know, get things over the line. But, yeah, man, did you find sort of like help along the way, like, yeah, because Skip the Vote, it's kind of like I can see like a whole lot of positive energy here, my bro. Did it take you by surprise how quickly it grew, my bro? Oh,
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, because like every year I set out like 3 goals, and every single year it's just like smashed it by like double it, triple it, quadruple, like too much, you know what I mean? And it's just been super like overwhelming, but you know, absolutely blessed for it. Like, you know, it's the thing that I'm super, super grateful for, that I even get the opportunity to do this. Yeah. I truly believe that, you know, what's real will always prosper. So anything that you're doing with like the right kind of intentions, it's always going to come back to you. Like you know, if you're working hard with pure intentions, you will get what you deserve, you know, even if it means you have to wait a bit, it's going to come around. And it's cool to see that so many people support what I do.
Because your toe talk, that's your, yeah, I noticed that was a big message when I finally got around to catching up. I'm like, wow, you guys have done so many videos. And I just saw this theme of like, just like, man, just go out and chase your dreams too. Like, you know, it's kind of like, it's a huge world out there, so there's enough like room for at least everyone in New Zealand to be crushing it, man.
Like, yeah, like I think one of the biggest issues here is that too many people see it as a competition where they see, oh, because someone else is doing it, I can't do it, or because it's like this person's doing it, that means they're my competition, they're an enemy. But it's never like that. The thing is, you know, there's enough space for everyone to win, and if you go into it, be like, hey, look, I'm not going to see them as an enemy, but I'm going to see them as a person that I can work together with to even help the scene go even bigger. I think that's the best way to do it, you know.
That's it. And it, yeah, like I come back to the world market thing, it's like, it's even to the point where we should really be saying, you know, may the best artists win. And like, if we all have access to being able to give everything a crack and yeah, get like catch the whole uncut like raw story. It's kind of like it's kind of like saying, hey, you know, like this is not even healthy competition, this is like healthy self-expression. And yeah, this is like trying to create a pattern of us actually taking things into our own hands. So it's so powerful, bro, you know.
Of course.
Yeah. That's so cool, bro. Well, we're kind of heading into a cool section, and I know that you've done so much that really, in terms of like any particular things that might be huge milestones, it's not hard for people to just look through and just see it all. it's so awesome that you just put it out there. But have you got sort of like any goals or any things you guys you're like, is there sort of any specific goals for this year? Is it sort of just kind of doubling up and like just kind of multiplying things?
There's a lot of goals, and like some are like long term, some are like, all right, this year. But I try to make sure everything kind of leads towards these like bigger goals that I have at the very end. So it's just like a thing of like, you know, I want to be throwing bigger gigs, I want to be doing more gigs, which is always tough with like the time that we're in, you know, where like it feels like anytime you get something sorted, we're kind of back to like the start. But you know, I'm very hopeful that, you know, I'll still be able to do everything that I've got planned this year. But I mean, I feel like the biggest thing, man, is, you know, I really want to keep on having fun with it, you know, because if I'm not enjoying it, there's no point, you know, there's no point. So yeah, as long as I'm enjoying it, that's one of the biggest things for me.
Hard out. And how much I've started to start enjoying things even more is just realizing like, man, this is the best thing about this, is like, it will cover my whole life. And it's, I think about it like this huge book, and you get to little write a little part each day, like carry on, like saying,
absolutely.
I know, like, I'm not a big fan of writing and reading books, but like, I look at this like, isn't it cool as a kid when you like get to the end of the book, and like as kids, you just start telling each other about, oh, you see, that was the book we all read in class. Yeah. Like, there's always those days where you're like, oh, we did like reading after lunch, but then you like get to it and you're like, the whole class starts talking about the book because like you're finished reading it, and it's just like, it's set there. So it's kind of like, yeah, as long as you're putting those positive seeds out, I guess you can expect to have some good stuff come back, right?
100%. 100%.
Yeah. That's so cool. Well, yeah, that kind of ties me into where I'm really heading for, which is for people who are tuning in, and a lot of it's been said, but this is like a chance to just sort of share any like things for people who might be wanting to get into music, especially hearing from you, it's like music kind of cultivation and curation, and even sort of awareness for music as a positive driver. And for people who might be wanting to get into something similar themselves, or just wanting to get into something in music, have you got sort of any general words of feedback, encouragement, or just tips?
Yeah, of course. I think the biggest thing is just being able to, like, the hardest step is definitely like that first step you take, you know, because it's where you're kind of putting yourself out there, and you're vulnerable, and you kind of have to be brave to be like, yo, I'm gonna do this. Because as soon as you do that, it sucks, but there's always people that will kind of instantly be like, oh, like, you can't do that. You know, like I like friends of mine that were like, what are you doing trying to put on a show? But as long as you're able to like get past that and be like, hey, like at the end of the day, it's not about what other people tell me. I want to do this because I enjoy it. I think as long as you can get that first foot through, it's only going to get easier and easier. And the big thing that people need to understand, that it's not going to be easy, but not as long as stick with it, and you're prepared to take some L's but use them as lessons and not losses, it's going to benefit you so much more. And the truth is, anyone can do it. Like I was doing my first show when I had no clue about anything, but you learn, you know, like that's the biggest thing. Yeah. So it's a process. It's enjoyable. It is very fun, and you will feel like the reward from it when you finish a show, you'll be on this high where you're just like, oh, that was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, we've made history.
it's honestly like top 10 best feelings in the world. I'm just going to be honest. Yes. But yeah, I mean, the best piece of advice is just, if you're passionate about it, stick with it. Don't give up just because of like one bad show. I've had like 10 bad shows, like, you know, it's part of it, but
yeah,
10 bad shows make up, because when you get that one good show, you're like, who cares about the rest? I had that one good show, I'm gonna hold myself to that show. It's just being able to stick with it and that consistency to be able to go through. I feel like that's the best piece of like advice I can give.
That's it. I mean, beyond all the other advice, like, it's literally that mindset advice where, like, how do you look at things and how will you let those things actually like tap into actually what our behavior is as humans. Like, if we look at something the wrong way and not actually see it for what it really is, like a lesson, we're actually getting in our own way.
Exactly. We're our biggest enemy at times. Yeah.
And all we have to do is take a step back, or take a deep breath and like, wait a second. Yeah. This is actually everyone out side of us could be seeing this as like, wow.
At the end of the day, I feel like we're always our biggest critic. Like, we're always going to judge our events and be like, oh, like, this thing happened, so it was bad. But there's been so many events where I'll see it and I'll be like, oh, it was a bad event. But everyone that comes past me, they're like, hey, this was like one of the best nights I've had in like a long ass time. So like, it's always you that's going to get stuck in your own head about the small things, but don't stress about it, because at the end of the day, as long as the people had a good time, it's a job well done. So,
ooh, so good. Well, yeah, I totally relate for the little few gigs I've had, but I know a lot of people tuning in work in many areas, both in front and behind the stage. So this is really just, it's about that, just reaffirmation and like just really just speaking that truth and reminding ourselves, the common good, the common truth. So just to kind of wrap us up, my bro, I wanted to thank you so much for your time here on Beat Whānau, and I'm sure we can all pretty much just stay tuned on the socials, and it's mostly Instagram, Facebook as well, right?
Instagram, Facebook. We got a YouTube channel and just our site, but our home is kind of like Instagram. But yeah, thank you so much for having me here. I appreciate the opportunity as well. So thank you for that.
Awesome. Well, that, everyone, was Beat Whānau Podcast with Herman. Skip the boat. Stay tuned for future episodes of Beat Whānau, and we're really looking forward to see, as we get to the end of my studies, how we can get some cool music stuff happening in schools. So if you have any ideas, we'd love to hear from you. You can hit us up on all the major socials, and if you have any ideas for some cool things, whether it's merch or any other ideas, feel free to flick us a buzz as well. Otherwise, stay tuned for more Beat Whānau podcasts. Peace and love, Whānau.